إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. What about you turn off the reception? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. I greet you all with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We would like to welcome all of you for our sixth class for the sixth album of explanation of Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmahullah. This is the sixth class. This is the sixth class from the sixth album for the explanation and authentication of attainment of the objective according of evidence from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And inshallah, today we have a new chapter, and this chapter 1, this is page number 496. Page number 496. And we're still dealing with the Book of Judgment. And the judgment, which is the ruling and settle disagreements between people and to try to bring rights to the lawful owners. And today we have a new chapter which dealing with the testimonies. And this is hadith, the chapter first called Babu Shahadat. Wa alaykum as-salam. Babu al-Shahadat, and the Shahadat is a plural shahada. And shahada is derived from the word al-mushahada, to observe or to see. And here we're talking about a person who come to give his testimony, to say what he know or what he saw, what he believe that is right. So when the person gives his testimony and testify that he heard so and so saying or so and so doing, this is called shahada. And this what we dealing with today concerning a shahada, the testimonies or being witness. And hadith 1201, hadith عن زيد بن خالد الجهني رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ألا أخبركم بخير الشهداء هو الذي يأتي بشهادته قبل أن يسألها. رواه مسلم. This hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, should I inform you about the best witnesses? Is the one who comes voluntarily before somebody ask him to give his testimony. Okay? A person who comes voluntarily and he come in to support the right, to forbid the bad, to make sure that rights go to the lawful owners. And this is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. Because if a person didn't do this, it may cause the right to go to the wrong person, or that maybe the innocent person will be chastised, or the innocent person will be put in jail. So for you, if you saw something or you know something and you go to be witness, that means you're going to free the person from being in jail or being punished, okay? And this because Islam is about justice. And by doing this, you are helping establishing justice in the earth. And this is something very important. You don't have to say, okay, you pay me such and such, or I'm not going to be witness. You see, you're doing this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is part of Islam that we establish justice in the earth, establish justice between the people. And without testimony or without witnesses, the judge, he may could not reach to the right conclusion. So for you to come and volunteer your service and to be witness, is this gum? Mm-hmm. Okay, please go put it in the trash and come back and wash your hands. Make sure it doesn't fall in the rug now. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying in this hadith, which reported by Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani, and the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, and the hadith is authentic. He's saying, shall I not tell you the best witnesses? He is the one who produce his testimony before he is asked for it. The next hadith, which hadith 1202, عن عمران ابن الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن خيركم قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم يكون قوم يشهدون ولا يستشهدون ويخونون ولا يؤتمنون وينذرون ولا يوفون ويظهر فيهم السمن ويظهر فيهم السمن. This hadith رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, which is the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim رحمة الله عليهما, so the hadith is متفق عليه, well authenticated, reported by Imran ibn Husayn. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم showing us the virtues and the great virtues of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, the companions and the followers of the companions, the Tabi'een and the followers of the Tabi'een, which is Tabi'i Tabi'een. He is the Prophet telling us that khayrukum inna khayrakum qarni, that the best generation and the best people are those people who are living in my time, in my century. Who are those people? The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the best believers, the best one to know this deen, or the best one to practice this deen. Okay, the Sahaba, alaykum as-salamu alaykum. And after this, those who come after this, okay, those who come after the Sahaba is not better than the Sahaba, they less in the virtues, but they still good. And those who come after them, the third century, okay, what's going to happen after this? And after these three centuries will be people who will give false witnesses without being asked. They'll be rushing to the court, rushing to give witnesses without knowing, without being sure, assuming, thinking, all these things. Okay? Because the more that we get farther away from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the less knowledge, the less deen, the less taqwa, the less fear of Allah. So after this first three century, people will be changing to such a degree, found somebody rushing without anybody asking him to be witness, without being sure of what he's talking about, he won't be witness. Okay? And those people who be given witnesses or witness testimony without even being asked and not sure, okay, and they are not to be trustworthy person, and they will make vows and they are not going to fulfill it, they are not going to keep it, and those people, they are going to be what? They will be fat, gaining a lot of weight. Okay? That means the main concern is this world life, this prison life, eating too much. Okay? So you find a person less in iman and big in the body. Okay? Less ibadah and worship of Allah and too much fat, because all what he care about this dunya. So from this hadith we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had praised the first three century, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een and the Tabi'i Tabi'een. This is the reason we take these people as our leaders after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we always, when we try to check some information, understanding about our deen, we try to match it according the way of the Sahaba and those who came after them and those who came after them. And also that this hadith is making us be aware of giving false testimony and the necessity of keeping vows, and also we are not supposed to betray Allah or His Messenger or the Muslims. Okay, and we see that Islam is concerned about establishing justice and being a people of Allah who keep their promise with Allah, their vows, and also that we shouldn't be so concerned about this dunya. Okay, all what you concern about eating and getting fat, okay, but not being a good Muslim, this is too bad. The next hadith, which hadith 1201, reported by Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تجوز شهادة خائن ولا خائنة ولا ذي غمر على أخيه ولا تجوز شهادة القانع لأهل البيت. Okay, this hadith which is reported by Abdullah ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith, in the collection of Sunan al-Imam Ahmad and Sunan Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is Hassan. Is good. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing us about one of the things can be obstacle in a testimony or a witness. Okay, and one of them, a person who is khain, a person who betrayed, a person who is not honest. Okay, the testimony of a person, male or female, who are khain, is not trustworthy person. Okay, and also a person who have an ill feeling towards the other Muslim. Okay, if you have an ill feeling towards a Muslim, you could not be a witness against him because some kind of hardship, problems, argument, debates, whatever it is, because whatever reason happening, and now this argument that happened between you and your Muslim brother, or between you and your Muslim sister, okay, now something happened in the court or before the imam or before the judge, so you come in rushing, want to be a witness. The judge is not going to accept you. Why? Because you already have some hatred, some ill feeling in your heart about this brother and this sister. As a result of this, it may be the shaitan going to provoke you to say something is not correct. You see, for such a reason, this testimony is not going to be acceptable. You may even can be right. You may be possibility that you are right, but due to the ill feeling between you and this brother or this sister, your testimony is going to be rejected. Okay? Why? Because you already have a bad feeling previous, okay, between you and this person, therefore the judge is not going to be able to accept your testimony. The third person is a person who is working, okay, for somebody working in the company of so and so. Now the boss man have to go to court. Now one of the workers will come to the court and try to do what? To be a witness, to free his boss, to say no, he's a good man, he have a good character, he never cheated anybody. Okay, so now the judge could not accept this kind of testimony. Why? because you are employed by this man. You see? So now you are independent on him. You are independent in him. Maybe possibility that he's scared that he fire you, okay, or because he maybe did not give you overtime anymore, okay. So this kind of relationship of you being hired by him and depending on him, this will be causing a defect or a matter of rejection for your testimony for this person. Okay? So this kind of three people, it gives the right to the judge to reject the witnesses even if they are witness there. And this hadith also shows us that we may judge the people according their condition, because al-kha'in, the person who betrayed, so there is a defect about his personality, okay? A person who betrayed, he's not honest, he doesn't keep the trust. Doesn't matter what this trust that he gave him, you left a car with him, or you left a money with him, or you left a secret with him. You see? And now he tells the secret there in the community. So this person is not well trust person. So this kind of defect in his manner, Islamically, and you can find that the great scholars before, when they see somebody as example, he maybe not shave his beard, he take little bit of his beard. This is defect in his character. They did not take hadith from him. You see? This imam, this great scholars of hadith, like Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam, all these imams, rahmatullah alayhim, they used to look in the personality of the person which is going to take the hadith from him. Okay? He may memorize the hadith, he may know the person that he's relating the hadith from him, but when they see his personality, if they see some kind of defect in his character, maybe he doesn't come for Salatul Jama'ah as example. He lives close to the house, to the masjid, but he doesn't come for Salatul Jama'ah. Say, oh, what's wrong with this man? You see? So this shows you that the way how you carry yourself in your community and your behavior in the community, it can be a judge. And some people say, listen man, I don't care what you're saying, what's in my heart is in my heart. Only Allah will be the one who judge me. Okay? It is true, Allah is the one who knows what's in your heart. Allah is the only one who will judge you. But we also, in a certain occasions and certain cases, we're going to see what kind of history you got in the community for us to listen for your advice, or to listen to your testimony, or to see if you are a person of worthy of accepting, because maybe you have something else in your, you have a different agenda. This is the way how they say it. Okay? Maybe you have a different agenda. You see? So this is the reason that sometimes in certain cases we have to judge the people by how they behave and how they act. As I said, the hadith is hasan, that acceptable is good. And the next hadith, which in page number 497, hadith 1204. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تجوز شهادة بدوي على صاحب قرية. رواه أبو داود وابن ماجه. And the hadith is authentic. The Bedouin, Bedouin person, a person who living in a desert, okay, and a person who living in the Qarya, like you say, somebody living in the city limit, and somebody living in the the skirts or the out of the city limit, countryside, okay. Alaykum salam. Now there is a court, and now a person coming from the city limit to be a witness to the person who live in the city, okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we could not take the testimony of this person. Alright? This can be due to the fact that some of the Bedouin, you remember this Bedouin man, he came and he urinated in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So sometimes most of these people, they are not well familiar with the religious aspects, okay, and the proper way of doing things. The Muslims, they know the basic of the deen, and this is it. So he doesn't know how serious it is to give testimony, okay, or what is the ruling about it, okay, or that he living in a distant and he doesn't know about these people who living in the city. For whatever reasons, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt that he found that this person not to be a witness to the person who living in the Qariya. Now, except if we know, alhamdulillah, that except if we know that this person being a trustworthy, knowledgeable, okay, but in general, the Bedouin person could not be a witness to a person who living in the village. Towner, is this the word you use it?
Yeah.
Towner, the person who live in the town. Next hadith, hadith number 1205, وعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه خطب فقال إن أناسا كانوا يؤخذون بالوحي في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن الوحي قد انقطع، وإنما نأخذكم الآن بما ظهر لنا من أعمالكم. رواه البخاري. Is authentic. This not hadith. This is the saying of Umar. May Allah be pleased with him. He gave a khutbah and said that people before used to be judged by the revelation in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But today there is no longer wahi, it's no more revelation. So we have to deal with you, okay, according what we see from your action. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person may be lie, the revelation will come, and Jibreel will inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this person being a liar, or the case is not like this, alright? But now after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is no more revelation. A person may say something which is not true. How are we going to know? Alright? Especially if the person more eloquent, he knows how to speak good, alright? He knows how to form a good story, make you believe it, alright? So, how are you going to know? There is no more revelation. So he said, the time judging people by revelation is gone. No more revelation. We could not judge you by anything except what? But what? Your appearance. Your appearance shows that you are a sinner. We're going to judge you as a sinner, even if your heart is good. Your appearance look like a Muslim. You come to the masjid, okay? We judge you as a Muslim. Your appearance shows that you're cheating. This what is, you see? Like I have a couple of weeks when I was in USC, Some ladies, they have a big thing, you understand, which means that who you are to judge us. I'm not judging anybody. It says that the Prophet ﷺ says these women who come and walk in the street like this, they are cursed, and the Prophet said curses them. This is what I said, what the Prophet said. You may be the best wife, you may be understand, make a lot of sadaqah. This is true, okay? But for me, how I know that you are a Muslim? I don't see anything shows that you are a Muslim. He was so mad how I say something like this. I say I only say what the Prophet saying. So if a person doesn't look like a Muslim, and you ask him or her, are you a Muslim? And they get mad. This is their problem. This is not our problem. Okay? You could not know what's in the people's heart. We could not go inside the people's heart. You see? So we have to deal with the people according what's appear from them. And there is certain things that you have to go. Okay? According what is the law of Islam. Somebody come and say, okay, this person dealt with me unjustly, and this person did such and such. From knowing about the history of this person, that he did this before, okay, many times. But maybe in this case is what, he's innocent. But from knowing about the history, it been repeated many times, this is the only thing you can think about. Okay? So a person have to put himself as well as his heart, the inside and the outside, to be according the way of Allah and according the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can be given a lot of charity, you can be making qiyam al-layl, but I'm not living in your house. Okay? I've been living in Colombia for 5 years or 10 years, and maybe never saw the person, male or female. Okay? I understand maybe we have 20 people in the mosque. When the imam stands on the member, he can see everybody. And the person comes and says, brother, I need you understand, $100 loan, I'm a Muslim. How I know that you're Muslim, right? 5 years I never saw you in the mosque. You see? So we judging the people when they come to us according what we see from the outside, the hearts is belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This narration is authentic in the collection of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. So according this hadith, somebody that you know that he's smoking, somebody that doesn't cover, and you see it, and you're coming to be a witness in Islamic court. Somebody shaved, no beard, you could not accept these people as witness, because the appearance of them shows you that they are sinful. Okay? He's coming to stand there in the court, and you can see the end of the packet of cigarette in his shirt. Islamically, you could not accept this person. A woman coming with no hijab. Oh, my name is Aisha Abdullah Mahmoud. You see? This is your name, but the way how you look, you don't look like a Muslim. So the judge will say, I'm sorry, we could not accept your testimony. Why? How? Because we judge now according what appears to us. Hadith 1206. وعن أبي بكر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه عد شهادة الزور من أكبر الكبائر. متفق عليه في حديث طويل. This narration from أبو بكر, and this is the collection of الإمام البخاري المسلم رحمة الله عليهما. In a long hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had count shahadatul zur, okay, false testimony, min akbar al kaba'ir, one of the major sins, one of the major sins, okay, shahadatul zur, mean to make it fancy, look nice, okay? So a person has the ability to speak so good, both the sentences, comma, period, all this stuff, and use all these big words, and he have a big imagination that he can build a story. He build a story to such a degree when you hear it, you believe it. Okay? He say yes, he was there and he left about 5 o'clock, and after this he took my car and all the things, and he will give you a story to believe it. Rasulullah says this, one of the major sins. Why? Because by having the ability, to decorate and fabricate and put in words together and make the judge believe you, now the person who's innocent, he's going to be guilty, and the guilty will sit free, you see. So by doing this, you had misled the judge, and you made the right goes to somebody that it doesn't belong to him, and by this you did not help about establishing the justice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this to be one of the major sins. And from this hadith also we understand that in al-Islam there is major and minor sins. Okay, there is major sins and there is minor sins. Okay, and to give a false witness, false testimony, that one of the major sins, and the hadith is authentic. Page number 498, hadith 1207. We leave it alone. The hadith reported by Ibn Abbas. This hadith is weak. Okay? Again, hadith 1207, hadith is weak. Hadith 1208, وعنه رضي الله تعالى عنه, that means from the same reporter, which Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قضى بيمين وشاهد, أخرجه مسلم وأبو داود والنسائي, وقال إسناده جيد. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam Muslim and Sunan Abu Dawood and al-Nasa'i. Hadith reported by Ibn Abbas that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made ruling concerning a case with what? Yameen and Shahid. That mean a oath or a swearing and a witness. When somebody come to claim something, alright, he has to bring evidences. Okay, he have to bring evidences, or he have to bring witnesses. And concerning money, okay, concerning money, not marriage, not divorce, not inheritance, okay, not hudud, capital punishment, we're talking only about money, all right. In this case, since the claimer was not able to bring two witnesses, okay, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept what? One witness and his oath. Okay, the person who claimed such money upon so and so, he have to take an oath and to swear by Allah that what he's saying is true. And he have with him what? One witnesses. So that from this hadith we understand, in case that we could not find two witnesses, one witness will be sufficient, and the person who claim such thing, such money, he will take a oath. Again, as I said, this only concerning money, property, doesn't relate to hudud, capital punishment, Okay? You could not come with one witness and the oath and say this person committed adultery. You could not. Alright? You could not come and say this woman is married to this man with one witness and oath. You could not. Okay? I say this case only for the money. And we, inshallah, this one 1209 also is authentic, which is another narration. And we come to bab al-da'wa wal-bayyinat, chapter 2, in page number 498. And claims and evidences. Claim and evidences. Ad-da'awa, which is a plural for da'wa, and derived from ad-du'a, mean to ask, linguistic speaking, okay? But according Islamic law, that a person claiming something from somebody else, claiming a right that in somebody else's hand, this is called da'wa. Somebody coming to claim that this camel or this $100 in so and so's hand is mine. Okay, so now you're claiming something to be yours, but is not in your hand, in somebody else's hand. And al-bayyinat is plural of bayyina. Okay, al-bayyinat is a plural of bayyina, and al-bayyina is what we use to clarify the matter and firm it, to make it clear. Okay, to make something clear that this is mine, whatever evidence that you're using, now you call this what? Bayyina. By using anything related. Alaykum salam. Hadith 1210 reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال لو يعطى الناس بدعواهم لدعى ناس دماء رجال وأموالهم ولكن اليمين على المدعى عليه ولكن اليمين على المدعى عليه. That this hadith, which reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima, the hadith is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, if the people were given what they asked for when they brought a case, anybody come to claim anything and we want to answer them and we believe them, anybody come to claim, oh, this is my camel, this is my wife, this is my house, if we going to accept it like this, anybody come and make any claim, we said yes, you are right, what's going to happen? Some would claim the lives and the properties of others, because not everybody equal in faith, not everybody have the same kind of faith and iman. Okay, some people weaker in their faith than the others, and some people are stronger than the others. Okay, so we could not leave it like this. Tahina. Okay, alaykum salam. Everybody can come and make a claim. Oh, this is your, this, she's my wife. Or this is my house. Or this is my car. Or this is your car here, take it. Or this is your wife, take it. Okay, this is my children. Okay? So, it will be so simple that anybody can come like anything, he will claim it. Alright? So how are we going to settle, or how are we going to stop this kind of claims? What's going to happen here? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the oath will be taken, okay, upon the person that been claimed, been done against him. Now let's explain the hadith little bit by the other narration that came in the collection of Imam al-Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayh, and it is authentic also. He said al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i ala al-mudda'a wal-yaminu ala man ankar. Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a clear evidence and proof. On the person who claiming such thing, or that the oath would be for the one who denied. So you coming to claim this is my car, you coming to claim this is your car, now you bring evidence. You bring evidence. Okay, now he said, open the hood. And look, you understand to the battery, the bolts to the side or whatever you call it, okay, and the starter, you will find it is brand new, and I know the serial number because in the bill that I bought, you will give something to show that this is your car. Alright, let's say that you did not have any thing. You don't have anything that you remember, neither you know, or maybe you are the right owner, but you don't have. So the person who has the car now, and he claiming is his, we asking him to swear by Allah. Swear by Allah that this is my car, is not his car. Okay? So that you bring the evidence that is yours, we give it to you, or this person going to, you bring a witness and evidence, witnesses or evidence that is yours. Or otherwise the other person will what? He will swear that is his and he will keep it as is. In Hadith 1211 reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عرض على قوم اليمين فأسرعوا فأمر أن يسهم بينهم في يمين أيهم يحلف. Okay. Now in this case, like this hadith which in reported by Abu Huraira is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, so the hadith is authentic. In a case like, we need witnesses and we need oath to prove this case. You don't have